Well, who's excited about this time of the year? I don't see any hands. I see one hand. I see that hand. Well, Christmas, just so you're reminded, as if you don't know, is about 3 weeks away. And I guess based on having Dan Moeller here in the middle of Christmas, I think that's unusual. It's not something that we normally do. And so I think God's got some different things for us this year going into the new year. And so I just want to encourage you, if December has been a hard time, and maybe for some it's bad memories and bad thoughts, and it doesn't have to be that way. I think God's got some good things for us. He wants to work in us and work through us, and so this can be a season of joy. Everybody say joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, this could be a season of joy for you. Will be, yes. And so I believe that God's doing something significant as we end this year and as we begin another. So I've been reading, the Christmas story. And, you know, every year there seems like something different that I see. And this year, as I've been reading it, the whole story about Mary has kind of jumped out at me. And I'm just kind of amazed that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Does anybody else think about that? I mean, we've got a young woman. I mean, some scholars say she could be as young as 14. You know, a young person. That this is the one that God chose to be the mother of Jesus. No fame, fortune, societal status, you know, just really an ordinary, unknown person. And that's encouraging to me today. God uses unknown people. He uses the people that are least likely to be used by Him. And so He chose Mary. And have you ever kind of wondered why He chose her? And that's one of the things I want to just look at a little bit today. What was it about Mary that got God's attention? So let's look at the Christmas story, we call it, in Luke 1, verse 26. I didn't put that in my notes and put it up here. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so, as I was kind of looking at this passage here, in all of Luke 1 and chapter 2 as well, there's three qualities that I think are worth our attention about Mary and maybe why God chose her. The first quality is that Mary was a meditative person. And you get this out of reading the chapter 1 and chapter 2. She spent much time thinking, pondering, contemplating, and meditating on the things of God. She thought about her life in relation to God and what he was doing on the earth, and then maybe what her part would be. Because it was interesting, when the angel greeted her, she wasn't troubled that the angel visited her. Isn't that amazing? She was troubled about what he said in the greeting, but she wasn't like shocked that the angel came and visited her. Isn't that amazing? I mean, she didn't run. She didn't fall on the ground. She didn't, all the things that you might do when an angel shows up at your house. But she's troubled by the words and by what he said in the greeting. And one translation says she was confused and disturbed, and she kept these things revolving around in her mind. She's thinking about what he's saying. I mean, that's pretty good. She's not nervous. She's not, you know, lost her wits or mind. She's engaged. An angel has come, and she's listening to the words that he says. In Luke 2, verse 19, when the shepherds came to the stable with the story of their encounter with angels, it says, Mary treasured what they said. She pondered them. She held them dear to her heart. One translation says, she thought of them often. So she was a person that thought about the things of God. She's someone that knew the Word of God. And so when the angel expounds further on the favor bestowed on her, she has the, you know, the wherewithal to ask this question: how is this possible? You know, I don't know a man. I mean, that's an intelligent question. Isn't this amazing? I mean, she's engaged with the angel, you know, listening, talking about the plan of God. And so the angel explains to her about the fulfillment of Scripture, about the Messiah, who's going to bear the son named Jesus. And so then she receives it. And you know, if you read on further, and we'll read in a few minutes, about the song of Mary when she goes to see Elizabeth, in that spiritual song that she had, there's 11 different references to the Old Testament. Now, I don't know about you. I know I couldn't do it even if I had the time to go prepare something to put 11 different scriptures in a song. That would be challenging, even if I had days to do that. She, on the spur of the moment, has this praise to God with 11 different references to the Old Testament. Different places of the Scripture. So we're not talking about someone that, you know, it's just by chance or just this just happened to her and God kind of rolled the dice and who it fell upon, you know, spin the bottle and it landed on Mary. You know, that wasn't the case. This was someone that was knowledgeable in the Scriptures, that had the Word hidden in her heart, that thought about the things of God. Whatever her age, you know, but a young person, she didn't have time to go to the synagogue and get the rolls, the scrolls out and read them. She knew the Word. She had an understanding of God's plan. She studied. She went to the synagogue. She talked about the things of God. She meditated on the things of God. And she knew Psalm 1. I'll read that to you. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man, the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Her delight was in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So she knew the Scripture. She acted on the Scripture. She meditated on the Word. What does that word meditate mean? It means to think about something deeply, to have something roll around in your mind. And this, it's important, you know, Joshua 1 talks about that. And then that is really a spiritual habit that we all need to develop. We've got to learn to be in this book and able to get this book into our heart. That's hide it in our heart. And it's more than just hearing messages. It's more than just reading words off the page. We have to meditate. It's a spiritual habit that we need to take, is to take the things that we're reading and studying and think about them on purpose and go over in your mind and in your imagination. And that's how it gets built in your life. And so Mary had done that. She had meditated on the word. And so it wasn't just a random person that God picked. And so I would say to you today, as we're going into the Christmas season, we're going to end our year, and it's going to be a lot of activity and a lot of maybe pressure and stress. And I would recommend to you to take some time to spend in the book. Take some time and read the scriptures, but then also to meditate on them. How you been doing with that? Have other things kind of crowded the word out? Because God wants to speak to us. I mean, that's part of the story here. God wants to speak to us. Not just the preacher, not just one of the fivefold ministers. God wants to speak to every one of us, to give us direction, to encourage us. And when you're like Eddie and you get in a mess, God wants to speak to you. He's speaking today, but the big question is, are we listening? Meditation is a key to hearing from God and listening to Him. And so I would say, you know, about expectancy, I don't think this was a big shock to Mary that this angel came. I think she was expecting something to happen. Now, I don't think there's any way, maybe, that she was thinking that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. But I think she was expectant. When you're in the Word, Romans says faith comes.
Yeah, that's good.
And when faith comes, how do you know when you're in faith? When you expect the things you're praying about, the things you're thinking about, the things you're believing for shall come to pass. And that's one of the things the enemy tries to do in our lives, and why he tries to get us out of the Word, is to rob your expectancy. Mary had an expectancy. She was, she ended up being expectant with something big. I mean, a big deal. But let me ask you that question. You know, what are you expecting about today? Are you just expecting to get by Christmas? Let's get this over with. You stressed about money? Stressed about family? Stressed about the year? There's a whole lot of things. But I want to go into 2019 expectant. I want to go into my Christmas time. I'm going up to Minnesota this year, into the great cold of the north. They're like down into 5 and 8. I gotta get in the Word. I want to go up there with an expectancy. Believers, that's what we should be. Oral Roberts should say, something good is going to happen to you. Miracles are coming towards you or past you every day. Well, I don't want those miracles to pass me by. I want to just grab it. Mary was expectant, and the angel showed up with an amazing message, and she was prepared for it. So the first quality about Mary, person of the Word, studied the Word, knew the Word, thought about the Word, found herself in the Word, and where she fit in the big scheme of God's plan. Now, the second quality that jumps off the page is obedience. And we've been talking a lot about that on Wednesdays and Sundays over the last few months, how important obedience is. Mary wasn't surprised or intimidated by the angel, but she was surprised by the message. I don't think she woke up that morning and said, "Well, an angel's going to appear to me and tell me I'm going to be the mother of Jesus." I don't think that was how she started her day. But when the pressure was on at that moment, the angel's talking to her about what's going to happen, her training kicked in. You talk about the military. When they train people, they train you for the mission. And so under fire, your training kicks in. That's what you fall back on. That's what you lean towards. When the pressure is on, what have you been trained to do? And so when the pressure was on Mary, I mean, this young girl, angels here, saying you're going to be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world, going to save people from their sins. I mean, this is a big deal. But in that moment, she's listening, she's contemplating, she's pondering, she's thinking. And then out comes these amazing words, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." This is not about me. This is not about my feelings. This is not about what I want. I am his handmaiden, the Bible says. I'm his servant. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And that should be our attitude. As we're studying, as we're listening to the voice of God, we're listening to obey. We're listening to do. Mary knew Proverbs 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Your mind may not be able to understand everything God is saying, but your heart can grasp it. Your mind will catch up with your heart. "Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." If we trust God, does anybody here trust God? If we trust God, if we believe in him, we will accept what he tells us to do. That should be the heart of the believer, is to be listening for instructions. Mary was ready for instructions. As crazy as it may have been, but she was prepared, she was ready, she was expectant. And then she had already trained herself. I don't think this is the first time that she's all of a sudden now she's going to be obedient. She was obedient in the little things. Learned obedience at home. Learned obedience in church. Learned obedience in her study time. Do what he says to do. Isn't it interesting that the first miracle that happened, what did Mary say to the servants? "Whatever he says to do, do it." This is a woman that knows about obedience. God knows best. Remember the show? Some of you are too young. "Father knows best." Is that a Patriots shirt there, Vanessa? Okay, moving on. Stay focused. Did that show, "Father Knows Best"? That should be our sitcom that we're in right now. The Father knows best. He knows the best. And even if our minds don't understand, if our opinions differ from the Word, if our opinions differ from what the Spirit of God is saying, Eddie, we are wrong. We're wrong. He's right, we're wrong. He knows best. He's the truth. This book here is the truth. So to have that heart of obedience, and I think that's just something that we're missing today. And I think because of the culture, it's kind of, you have your own truth. Everybody has their own truth. Whatever I think is right, and that's what I should do. That's not God's way. He's right. And we've got to line up with Him. He's got a will, not just a general will, but a specific will for our lives. Our lives need to line up with that. It's not about Him lining up with us and what we want. This is not about feeling good. This is not about being comfortable. This is, doing it my way. No, it's about doing His way. And I love this, the Discovery Group's Bible studies we've been doing, talking about them on Wednesdays, and we had it at the last Love Feast. All of that, the main focus there, of course, is the Word. Getting into the Word, meditating on the Word, reading the Word, getting it in our hearts. But it's about obeying the Scripture. What a novel idea. And something's been lost in the church that we've not been taught to be obedient. James 1, verse 21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. That's not good news, church, right? That's not who we are, just listeners. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, love that. The word sets you free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Anybody here want to be blessed by God? So two qualities about Mary. It wasn't random. It wasn't by chance. God was looking for a specific person. She had passed the test. She was a woman of the Word. And then she was a doer of the Word of God. And she was obedient. And aren't you glad today that she was obedient that day the angel came? Biggest day of her life, one of the biggest days so far of her life. And she was obedient. And she kept up the obedience as well. I mean, she's the only person that was at the birth of Jesus that was there at His death. She was there on the day of Pentecost. She was there during His ministry. She was there when Luke was interviewing people for what he was about to write. Obviously interviewed her. She was faithful. She was obedient, disciplined. She stayed with it. Now the last thing, and I can't stress this last point enough here today. The last thing that she understood was the power of fellowship. Let's read Luke, continue on with Luke 1, verse 39. This is just fascinating, all of this right here. We just kind of read by all this, but Mary... Verse 39, Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she sang out exuberantly. I wish we had more of that. Wouldn't it be fun if life was kind of a musical? Who likes the sound of music? I wish I could just bust out, if I could actually sing, just bust out in song. Exactly. We have a lot of singing in our house. That's why, probably why you shouldn't come visit us. But Elizabeth, she sings out, you're so blessed among women. Just imagine me singing this in a high-pitched voice, almost too high, but just right. And the babe in your womb, also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. See, now we got skipping. You're just all in my business right now. Singing and skipping. Okay, moving on. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. Now let's look at Mary. And Mary said, and some say that she sang this, that this is a song as well. I love it. Let's make this. Let's do the Mary musical. Grayson, you work on that. Kat, you guys work on that. Okay. Right now, start writing lyrics. And Mary said, I'm bursting with good God news. I'm dancing. So God, skipping and dancing. The song of my Savior God. And God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave of those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength and scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. And then it says Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then went back to her own home. And so this whole thing about fellowship, Mary has this amazing thing happen. An angel comes, has this encounter, tells her she's going to be the mother of Jesus, all the things that happened. What does she do? She runs immediately to Elizabeth's house. This is her cousin. And then, they have this encounter, and obviously they knew each other pretty well because they just start bursting out in a song. Now, Christina could get away with this, walk into someone's house and just start singing. But I don't think I've ever done that in my entire life. But maybe I'll start. Who wants to have me over today? TJ, thank you. What time? What time are we eating? Who do you have in your life that you can run to their house and share this impossible story? I mean, would you not think that she was crazy? But sure enough, Elizabeth, older, spiritual woman as well, she's pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist. So she's having some miracles herself. And you know, I can't prove this, but I think maybe Elizabeth was like a mentor to Mary. And mentoring her in the Word, in the things of God. And so she runs to her spiritual partner, her mentor, and then they have this encounter, supernatural. I mean, Mary's song, it's, again, 11 different references. It's a spiritual song. I mean, obviously, they had some kind of a connection. And it's the whole concept of fellowship that I think we're missing in the body of Christ today. Who do you have to run to? And it's interesting, you know, and I think if Elizabeth felt it wasn't of God, she would have said something. But she encouraged Mary. Now, they spent 3 months together. I know we can't do that, but we have the ability through technology to spend time with people who are in a far away land. Monday, Susie and I will talk to Jim and Jan Newton. We're good friends with them. They're mentors to us. We talk to them almost every month, 2-3 hours. We have the ability, that ability to do that. Now, Mary had to go spend 3 months with Elizabeth. But they were going over things. They were talking about, what did the angel, let's go over it one more time. What did the angel say? What exactly did he say? And then, how does that fit with the word? How does that fit with the prophecies? Mary was familiar with the prophecies about the Messiah. Elizabeth was familiar with that. Who do you have in your life that you can talk about the things of God with? Because it's going to be difficult to be obedient to God without people around you that are for you. And I think today, because of this fragmented society, I mean, because of technology that's supposed to help us and give us more time, it seems like we have less time. And we have less time for the things that are really important. We have less time to fellowship with others. I mean, this last week, who have you spent some time talking the word with? I was blessed when I was saved at the age of 19, get involved with a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. We met every Tuesday as a big group. We had Bible studies. We went witnessing together. I mean, I had some deep, I think the Message translation called deep-spirited faith friends. Do you have that? I think we're lacking in that. Now, all kind of things happen. Again, the busyness that we live in, but offense comes. Different things happen, separate us from those that we're close to. All kind of things. The enemy, see, he's trying to divide and conquer. If he can get you divided from those that you're close to, especially spiritually close to, I mean, he's going to have a field day with you. That's where he wants you. He wants you isolated. That is not God's plan. And so, if you don't have somebody, let's plan by year end that either you go back to the guy you were connected to or you find you a new person. And I hope it's here at the church, but if it's not, God will provide this for you. Now, let's just say you're here today and you wanted to study the Bible and you don't know how to study the Bible. Well, you're in the right place. We have people here that if you let us know you want to study the Bible, we'll assign somebody to you to meet with you and go over the scriptures. And then come on Wednesdays, we've been doing the Discovery Bible there. There's not an excuse right now. And maybe the Lord's prompting you to meet with somebody. But let's get back to fellowship. Let's get back to talking about the things of God. Let's get back to talking about the Word. And you can't talk about the Word unless you've been in it. The word fellowship means sharing. Who are you sharing with? Who's your person? Do I need to kind of go around the room and ask everybody? It's not someone else's responsibility that you have that. It's your responsibility. God's not going to do it for you. He's got it lined out in His Word, but you've got to be willing. You've got to be obedient. You've got to be humble. And if you need to go ask somebody to pray with you or to study the Word, humble yourself and do it. Don't remain ignorant. But I'm telling you where we're going and where God's leading us, and I feel like we're at a significant time of this church. We got to get back into this. We got to start talking about the things of God. And again, with Dan Moeller coming here, I think it's just a right on time. I think what we're doing with the Discovery Bible Studies, that's right on time. God's taking us somewhere. What's the whole purpose of it all? I think to raise up life givers. I mean, that's part of our calling, the Great Commission. Discipling people who will disciple others. God wants every one of us to be involved in that. But you got to have the proper foundation. Not know everything, but just some basic skills and basic habits. And that's what we're trying to do here, is train you in those things so that you can go out there. This is not the game. You know, the Patriots and the Vikings are playing later on today. I mean, they're having practice right now. They're getting ready for the game, but it's not the game. The game's not till later. And this is practice in here. This is a safe place to practice. This is a safe place to learn. This is a place where we want to help you. And if you don't know something, we'll help you learn it. But you gotta take that step. You gotta let us know. I can't read your mind. I don't know where everybody's at. But I do know this, Mary got results in a big way. I want big results for you. I believe God's got some, I think the biggest miracles are in front of us. He's done some amazing things, but I want to be in a place to work with him in what he's doing. I believe the greatest harvest in all of history. We're on the verge of that. We're probably right on the edge of it. I want to be involved in it. I want to be right in the middle of it. I don't want to be on the sidelines hearing about all the miracles somewhere else. I want to hear at Good News Church, and not just Good News Church, but all the churches in this area. But I'm responsible for this place. Be a life givers. We got something to offer people. We got to stay built up. We got to stay charged. Keep our battery charged. Praying together. Talking the word together. Encouraging each other. And if we need to, run to their house and start singing songs. Better songs than the, as great as the Sound of Music is, better songs than those, Christina. Who are those people? Bible says that iron sharpens iron. Who are your faith friends? My prayer is a Good News Church full of people of faith, full of people that are obedient to the word, full of people that know the word. But then we're also looking out for the next guy. It's not just enough that I have it. That's great that I have it. What about the next guy? Hallelujah. Who are those people in your life that you could fellowship with? What have you let slip today? What relationships have you let slip? Have you stopped sharing with people? Have you gotten hurt? Let's make some adjustments. Amen. Let's stand, everybody. Let's just give him praise for a moment and see what the Lord wants to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I need, it's not me, but it's Jesus. I need mature people to get this today. I need to get it and to walk in this and to be obedient to what he's saying to do. We're going to need this in this next phase. It's going to take everybody. Today is a day, a great day to make some changes. I don't want all of our transformation testimonies to be in the past. I believe the best days are ahead. I believe the future is bright. Glory to God. Let's just worship him. Let's just worship him. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Not trying to make something happen. Just let the Lord work things out. Thank you, Lord.